favorite ones are the half cars that come in, just like a cab of a truck or something. It's like, nice.
More than 400 junk cars were collected in the Chilkat Valley over the last week, and applicants vie to be the next Haynesboro manager. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Wednesday will be the last day junk cars and scrap metal will be accepted at the old mill site near the ferry dock after more than 400 cars have been dropped off in the last 10 days. Theo Kennedy of Channel Construction said his crew was getting overwhelmed with the response and they needed time to drain the vehicles they have of all fluids before a barge arrives this week to ship the cars and metal to Seattle. Skookum Recycling is shipping the cars to its facility for scrap metal recycling.
We take it down to Seattle and it all gets recycled, gets made into other metal stuff. They melt it all down and reuse it.
The collection was organized by Special Projects Coordinator Darcy Kolbeck with the Haynesboro. He said the borough decided to facilitate the effort because of the amount of junk cars in the valley that was drawing complaints from residents.
Well, we had been contacted by residents about various properties that had a lot of junk cars on them, so we were looking into that and what the solution of getting those things cleaned up was, and so we just sort of acted as a facilitator between Channel Construction and CIA and some of the larger piles of junk cars to make sure everyone's on the same page on what could be done.
The effort offered residents the opportunity to dispose of their junk cars and scrap metal at reduced or no cost. Usually, legally disposing of a vehicle in the Chilkat Valley costs several hundred dollars to one of the licensed junkyards in town. Not disposing of it properly or leaving it to languish on private property can violate borough code and also cost the owner money.
So this is a much better deal for the consumer as far as a way to get rid of those cars, once again in an environmentally sound way, but at a much less costly way.
Last week, when the collection was in full swing, Kennedy pointed out the piles of cars and metal that had accumulated at the site. The scrap metal pile included appliances, boat motors, and old siding. Among the vehicles were mostly older models of cars, trucks, and vans. Many had broken windows and mismatched paint. Some had bumper stickers with the names like Knowles and Hickel and Hammond. A few of the vehicles that came in were still operating, like an older model white Subaru wagon. A crew member drove that one directly onto the forklift tongs that then carried the car to a draining rack.
Yeah, every once in a while you get a runner. They're fun to mess around with.
Kennedy said the most stunning autos were those that weren't even a complete vehicle, but were obviously someone's project that was never completed.
Our favorite ones are the half cars that come in, just like a cab of a truck or something. It's like, nice.
Residents could bring cars to the site themselves, like Guy Monroe did. He had friend Jerry Kane help him haul his 1990 Volkswagen truck to the site.
It hadn't been used for about 10 years, so it was great to get rid of it. It's a great deal, and everything's getting recycled, so.
But Channel Construction, the borough, and Chilkoot Indian Association also facilitated the pickup of many vehicles and scrap metal throughout the valley during the week. Kolbeck said the effort may be organized again in the fall or next year. The search for a Haynesboro manager is progressing with a list of 18 applicants interested in the job. The job closed May 10th. The borough received applications from three Haynes residents interested in the position, including Assemblywoman Deborah Schnabel, Police Chief Gary Lowe, and Chilkat Indian Tribal Administrator John Brower. Other Alaskan residents interested in the position include applicants from Anchorage, Pilot Point, King Salmon, and Koyukuk. 11 applicants are from out of state. The Borough Assembly conducts most of the interview and deliberation process in hiring a new manager, said Deputy Borough Clerk Jamie Hines. On Tuesday, the clerk's office gave copies of all the applications to Assembly members, who will narrow the 18 applicants down to a short list. Schnabel will not take part in the process as an Assembly member. If she is not shortlisted for the job, she has indicated she will withdraw her application and take part in interviews and deliberations with the Assembly from that point on. Heinz said applicants who make it through a first round of interviews will meet with department managers who will score the candidates for the Assembly's consideration. Once the Assembly decides on a candidate, a special meeting will be called, or the group could wait until a regular meeting to appoint a new manager. Borough Manager Mark Ernest's last day on the job is June 15th. The Assembly recommended that between his departure and the hiring of a new manager, that an interim manager be appointed from among current borough officers. Clerk Julie Causey has offered to fill the interim position, and Hines would likely be appointed interim clerk in the process. Hines said the assembly has not indicated how long it could take to name a new manager. In Skagway, a new borough treasurer was recently hired. Skagway Borough Assembly on May 8th unanimously approved the hire of Skagway native Heather Rodig. She previously worked in accounting at White Pass and Yukon Route for 14 years. She starts work at the borough on June 1st. With the closing of the Haines Elk Lodge recently, the group is having to remove all items from the lodge building, and a liquidation sale is taking place Saturday from 9 to noon at the lodge, when items will be on sale through silent bidding. Many of the items in the lodge belong to the still active Emblem Club, according to club president Jamie Knutson. The club has moved its furniture, tables, chairs, and kitchen appliances to storage. But Knutson said that means the group is having to clear out other items from storage to make room, including many medical supplies like wheelchairs, hospital beds, and crutches the club has had donated over the years. Those items will be given away Saturday to anyone who can use them, Knutson said.
We're hoping that people in the community are going to need it, or if they know somebody that's going to need it, that we can, we're asking them to come down on Saturday when the Elks is having their liquidation sale. We'll have all that stuff pulled out, and anything anybody sees they're welcome to take, or anything that they know somebody might use, it's there for the taking. Anything that doesn't go away during that time, we're just going to have to bring it to the dump. So I'm really hoping people are going to come out and take an advantage of this.
Knutson emphasized that the Emblem Club is still active.
We're here for the kids and the scholarships and the community still. So just because we don't have a home, so to speak, we're still an organization that, you know, we're still going to keep trying to make money to help the kids and scholarships and everything.
In fact, the group will be giving out scholarships at the Haines School Scholarship Assembly on Monday. But the group had always used the Elks Club as its base. Now, the Emblem Club is working to find other meeting and event locations. The Elks Club closed in mid-April after 30 years in service. Knutson said it's hard to see the building emptied when she spent so many years active with the groups and using the lodge as a gathering place.
For me personally, it was really hard. It was really emotional. I've been part of the Emblem since I was, I've gone in there since I was 5 years old. And so it was really emotional, and it still is, to see all of the everything gone. It's pretty sad.
This is Margaret Friedenauer for KHNS News. Visit our news section online at khns.org. We're always open to your comments and story ideas, and you can reach us by emailing news@khns.org. Thanks for your support.
This is Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Alaska's biggest herring fishery is underway, and the market wants more fish. More after this.
Fish Radio is brought to you by the At Sea Processors Association. The APA believes the best public policy is based on good science. Learn more at atsea.org.
Fish Radio is also brought to you by the Renewable Resources Coalition. RenewableResourcesCoalition.org. Alaska's biggest sacro herring fishery opened Monday at Togiak in Bristol Bay. The herring arrival and spawn caught people off guard, says regional manager Tim Sands.
This year, there's no fishing boats over there. There's three tenders and two processors. I'm not sure what their status is as far as being ready to go. Hopefully, people are paddling over that way. And even though we've seen some spawn, you know, there's still probably more unripe fish than ripe fish at this point.
The Togiak forecast is for a harvest of almost 22,000 short tons, slightly below last year. Depending on its quality, the roe herring should meet a market eager for fish. Catches came up way short in San Francisco, British Columbia, and Sitka, where seiners took less than half of the nearly 29,000-ton harvest. That has Sitka prices soaring, according to Seafood.com, with first contracts in the range of $1,500 per ton, more than double last year. The shortage has combined with strong demand for herring processing in China. Reports from Japan, where all the roe ends up, say the dramatically cheap prices in past years has resulted in a huge expansion of new customers. Speaking of shortfalls, Alaska salmon fishermen won't face competition this summer from sockeyes at British Columbia's Fraser River. Managers say the run there is expected to be so weak a commercial fishery is unlikely to occur. Finally, Alaska's salmon season officially gets underway tomorrow at Copper River. Thanks to the assist from KDLG in Dillingham and Catch Fish Radio on Facebook. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods, serving Alaska's fishing communities since 1910. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
Community Wellness is a segment heard every Monday morning on KHNS during Soundwaves and sponsored by a joint project with the Chilkat Valley Community Foundation, Search Haines Health, Lynn Canal Counseling Services, and the Well and Fit Community Coalition. Join local health professionals and advocates on Community Wellness at 8:45 Monday mornings right here on KHNS.